This is Reverend Joseph Caesar coming to you from BBS Radio, bringing you the good news. I pray that today's topic would reach the hearts of the troubled ones. Jesus comforts his disciples. And today's text is going to be taken from the Gospel of John chapter 14 and on. It says here, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know." Thomas said, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" After announcing Judas's betrayal, his own imminent departure, and Peter's denial, Jesus told his disciples not to be troubled, but to trust him. He went on to comfort them and says, he refers to the mansions, a dwelling place. Everybody has a longing for a permanent, secure place. Such places have already been prepared, has been set aside for God's children. Jesus says, "I will come again and receive you." Peter may not understand the whole concept. He may have failed Jesus, but Christ will not fail to return to Peter and for everyone else who has believed in him. So when he says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He said, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Known him? Jesus came to reveal the Father. To know Jesus is to know the Father. So he says, "Show us the way. Show us the Father." Yet Philip asked to see the Father. Like Thomas, Philip seems to have been very slow to comprehend. But the Lord rebuked Philip because he should have known the answer to the question he asked. "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." But what really happened? Jesus did not upbraid him. He did not throw his hands in the air and walk away and with anger. But all what Jesus did, he patiently explained again that he was revealing God the Father to them. It is impossible to escape the claim Jesus was making. Clearly, he was claiming to be God. Jesus says here, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let it be afraid. You trust God, trust me." There are many rooms in the Father's home, and I am going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, I would have plainly let you all know. When everything else is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know where I'm going and how to get there. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We haven't any inkling, any idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? Well, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me, you know. If you had known me, you would have known who I am. Then you would have known who my Father is. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Well, here we go back to Brother Philip again. Philip said, Lord, please show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus, in his meekness, replied, Philip, don't you even yet know who I am? Even after all the time I have been with you, anyone who has seen me, Philip, has seen the Eternal Father. So now tell me, why are you asking to see him? Don't you believe that I am in him and he in me? Look, the truth and the work that I do, just believe in just that alone. I have what I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask anything, for anything in my name, and I will do it, because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. Brings glory to the Father. So let us go again from verse 12, Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus had accomplished the greatest works possible, including raising the dead. How could he say that that believers would do greater works? How could he? The answer is very, very clear. Of what the apostles did. Jesus answered to them that the works that he did was really confined to Palestine, but the apostles' work would reach everywhere on the face of the earth. That was very clear. But Mr. Peter and Mr. Philip seemed a little baffled. It goes again. Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many mansions, and if they were not so, I would have told you, and I'm going to prepare that place for you. And if I go and prepare that place for you, I will come back and take you there. Thomas said to the Lord, Lord, we don't know exactly where you're going. You're baffling us. You're confusing us. And we don't know the way. Jesus repeated himself again, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and see him. Here comes Brother Philip. Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And there Jesus goes again. Philip, don't you know me? Even after I have been among you such a long time, you still don't? Philip, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, and now you keep asking me to show you the Father. Philip, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The very words that I speak, Philip, I speak not of my own accord, is what the Father put within me. Or at least, Philip, please believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, Philip, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And Jesus constantly going back and forth to quiet the disciples because they were at an ease. The best thing that ever happened to them is now going away. And there is no surety where he was going or if he's going to come back, even though he had said all these things he said, yet they still had a slight disbelief. I am not sure. Jesus says, he says, yes, ask anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Comforter who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world at large cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you do, because he lives within you. Now, and later will be in you. He said, Jesus said, comfort them. He says, no, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. In just a little while, the world will not see me again. But you will. For I will live again. And you will too. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who obey my commandments are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them, and I will reveal myself to each of them. Judas, not Iscariot at all. The other disciples with that name said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? Jesus replied, all those who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and live with them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not do what I say. And remember, my words are not mine own. This message is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now. While I am still with you, open your ear, open your heart. Believe in me, have confidence in me. Trust in what I'm saying. But when the Father sends the Counselor as my representative, and by the Counselor I mean that Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything. I myself, I have told you, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. Please remember what I told you. I am going away, but I will come again. I will return. If you really love me, you will be very happy for me, because now I can go to the Father, who is greater than I am. I have told you all these things and much more. They happen so that you will believe when they do happen. I don't have much more time to talk to you again, because the prince of this world approaches and he has no power over me. But I will do what the Father requires of me, so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come, let's go in. Let us keep on going. It is very, very difficult. It is not much assurance. You're not sure. He's not taking a bus to go downtown and get lost in the crowd, or maybe you might bounce up on him one day. He is going somewhere else where you're not sure that this man is going to return. In all his comforting words, I do believe that the disciples were still there with a bit of doubt. I am not sure. I saw his works. I hear his words. But is he really going to come back? He says he builds where there is a place for us in heaven. And when it is completed and so on, he will come back and take us there. I don't know about that. I'm not sure about that. Andrew, you believe that? You think so? Thomas, you think so, Thomas? How do you take that? Brother Peter? Brother Philip? Do you have any idea? Have you seen anything in what he just said? And they murmured among themselves. And Jesus kept on. He kept on telling them that they are going to be okay. Many a times when we are in a situation, when we are grappling with complexities and we don't know which direction to go, I still guarantee that the best voice to listen to is the voice of God. I know that for sure. Here are three words upon any of which stress may be laid upon the word trouble. Be not cast down and disquieted. The word heart. Let your heart be kept with full trust in God. And the word your. However, others are overwhelmed with the sorrows of this present time, be not for you. Christ's disciples, more than others, should have keep their minds quiet when everything else is unique. Here is the remedy against this trouble of mine, is to believe. That's the remedy of the troubled mind, is to believe. Therefore, by believing in Christ as the mediator between God and man, we all gain comfort. The happiness of heaven is spoken of as in a Father's house. There are many mansions, for there are many sons to be brought to glory. Mansions are lasting dwellings. Christ will be the finisher of that of which he is the author or beginner. If he hath prepared a place for us, he will prepare us for it. Christ is the sinner's way to the Father and to heaven. In his person as God manifest in the flesh, in his atoning sacrifice as our advocate, he is the truth as fulfilling all the prophecies of the Savior. Believe in which sinners come by him, the way. He is the life, by whose life-giving spirit the dead in sin are quickened. Nor can any man draw nigh God as Father who is not quickened by him as the life and taught by him as the truth to come by him as the way. By Christ as the way, our prayers go to God, and his blessings come to us. This is the way that leads to rest, the good old way. He is the resurrection and the life, and all that saw Christ by faith saw the Father in him. In the light of Christ's doctrine, they saw God as the Father of lights, and in Christ's miracles, they saw God as the God of power, the holiness of God shown, and the spotless purity of Christ's life. We are to believe the revelation of God to man in Christ. There are three words upon any of which stress may be laid. And I'm going back over these again. Upon the word troubled, be not cast down and disquieted. The word heart, let your heart be kept with full trust in God. And the word your. However, others are overwhelmed with the sorrows of this present time. Be not you so? Of course. Christ's disciples, more than others, should keep their minds quiet when everything else is unique. Here is the remedy against this trouble of mine, is to believe. And by believing in Christ as the mediator between God and man, we gain comfort. The happiness of heaven is spoken of as in a Father's house. There are many mansions, for there are many sons to be brought to glory. Mansions are lasting dwellings. Christ will be the finisher of that of which he is the author or beginner. If he hath prepared the place for us, he will prepare us for it. Christ is the sinner's way to the Father and to heaven. In this person, as God manifests in the flesh, in his atoning sacrifice, and as our advocate, he is the truth, as fulfilling all the prophecies of a Savior, believing which sinners come by him the way. He is the life by which life-giving spirit, the dead in sin, are quickened. Nor can any man draw nigh God as Father, who is not quickened by him as the life and taught by him as the truth. To come by him as the way. By Christ as the way, our prayers go to God, and his blessing comes to us. This is the way that leads to rest, the good old way. He is the resurrection and the life. All that saw Christ by faith saw the Father in him. In the light of Christ's doctrine, they saw God as the Father of lights. And in Christ's miracles, they saw God as the God of power. The holiness of God shone in the spotless purity of the Redeemer, show forth in glory, and God in him. Whatever we ask, Christ said, Christ says, ask of anything in my name and I will do it. And you can ask the Father of anything and he will do it according to his will. So whatever we ask in Christ's name, that shall be for our good and suitable to our state. He shall give it to us. To ask in Christ's name is to plead his merit and intercession, and to depend upon that plea. The gift of the Spirit is a fruit of Christ's mediation, bought by merit and received by his intercession. The word used signifies an advocate, counselor, monitor, and comforter. He would abide with the disciples to the end of time. His gifts and graces would encourage their hearts. The expressions used here are elsewhere plainly denote a person, and the one itself includes all the divine perfection. All the divine perfection. The gift of the Holy Ghost is bestowed upon the disciples of Christ and not on the world. This is the favor God bears to his chosen as the source of holiness and happiness. The Holy Spirit definitely will abide with every believer forever. So as we read chapter 14, and then I give you an understanding of verse 18, it says here, Christ promises that he would continue his care. Promises. He promised that he would continue his care of his disciples. I will not leave you orphans or fatherless. For though I leave you, yet I leave you this comfort. I am going to come again. I will come to you speedily to you at my resurrection. I will come daily to you in my spirit, in the tokens of his love and visits of his grace. I will come certainly at the end of time. Those only that see Christ with an eye of faith shall see him forever. The world sees him no more. till his second coming. But his disciples have communion with him in his absence. These mysteries will be fully known in heaven. It is a further act of grace that they should know it and have the comfort of it. Having Christ's command, we must keep them, and having them in our head, we must keep them in our hearts and lives. The surest evidence of our love to Christ is obedience to the law of Christ. There are spiritual tokens of Christ, and his love given to all believers where sincere love to Christ is in the heart. There will be obedience. Love will be a commanding and constraining principle. And where love is, duty follows from a principle of gratitude. God will not only love obedient people, you know. He will not only love obedient people, but he will take pleasure in loving them. And gratitude, where he will rest in love to them. He will be with them as his home. He will live in them. These privileges are confined to those whose faith walketh by love and whose love to Jesus leads them to keep his commandments, such as partakers of the Holy Spirit. Would we know these things for our good? We must pray for and depend on the teaching of the Holy Ghost. Thus the words of Jesus will be brought to our remembrance, and many difficulties be cleared up, which are not plain to others. To all the saints, all of them, the Spirit of grace is given to be a remembrance, and to him, by faith and prayer, we should commit the keeping of what we hear and know. Peace is put for all good, and Christ has left us all that is really and calls his peace. For he is himself our peace. The peace of God widely differs from that of the Pharisees or hypocrites, as shown in by its humbling and holy effects. Christ raises the expectation of his disciples to something beyond what they really thought was their greatest happiness. His time was now short. He therefore speaks lastly to them, when we come to be sick and to die, we may not be capable of talking much to those about us. Such good counsel as we have to give. Let us give while health is good. Observe the prospect. You must observe the prospect Christ had of an approach conflict, not only with man, but with the powers of darkness. Satan has something in us to perplex us with, for we have all sinned. But when we would disturb Christ, he found nothing sinful to help. Let us rejoice in the Savior's victories over Satan and the prince of this world. Let us copy the example of his love and obedience. As I go over, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, wouldn't I have told you? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare the place for you, I am going to come again and take you to live with me. For where I am, you may be also with me there. You're going to be there with me. Christ made a promise. He is the only person, only one, to keep, make and keep such a promise. No one would be able to make such a promise. Man's promise merely holds. God's promise will always is eternal, and it will always hold. He will always do what he said. If he said do this, he means it, and he said this, then that is that. He make a promise. If he says he's going to come again, he will come again. He definitely will come again. And I thank you for your hearts this evening. And thank you for your attentive ear. And I pray for these wonderful men who has put their vision together to organize this radio station. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, Lord, for Don and Doug, who have pooled their resources and intellect and their intelligence together and make it possible for me to be on the airways this evening. Bless them, Lord. Protect them from all harm and danger. Bless their business. Protect their families. And let their business flourish, O Lord. Cover them with your precious blood. Build your divine hedges around them. And let the holy angels with their flaming swords take every position in their lives. May you continue to prosper them, Lord. May you continue to bless their hand. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. This is Reverend Joseph Caesar saying goodbye until another time as the Lord tarries so that I can bring you more good news from BBS Radio. God bless you.